This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning and welcome to Grant and Danny on this Thursday, December 12th, 2019. Better known as the day we will shave Chris Russell's head. 12 o'clock today, you can be here in person downstairs. We've got lunch being provided by Paisanos. Rooster's Grooming Lounge is coming in to officially shape the rooster up after we're done taking scissors and clippers to his dome.
I love it. What a day.
You can get a pass, by the way. You can take out the scissors and the clippers if you want to, if you donate to charity. $25 is all it costs to get your whack at Chris Russell's hair.
Come on down. That dome will be polished. It'll be clean. It'll be whistling in the wind. It's cold today, too, by the way. It's cold outside. A little windy.
A little bit chilly.
Don't put a cap on. You get a little acne. You got to let it go. You got to let it flow, Tommy.
Speaking of the caps, Carl Hagelin, 10:45, joining the show this hour. They had a huge win over the Bruins. They own Boston. 16 wins in 17 games. Braden Holtby in his career, 18-3 against the Bruins.
Why is that? They're good. Objectively, they're good, Grant.
It's nuts, man. I got no answer.
Help me understand it.
I got nothing. It's not like they're bad every year. It's not like this is one of the dregs of the NHL. They're a contender. They're perennially, at worst, average. At best, during this stretch, contenders to win it all. And the Caps just beat them every time they play.
It's a lot of fun.
But we got to start with the big news of the night.
Indeed.
And it has turned into the very sad news of the morning. Anthony Rendon is out. It is official. We did everything we could to prepare Nats fans for this inevitable for months. He has signed with the Angels, agreeing to terms on a seven-year, $245 million contract, the exact same figures of the Steven Strasburg deal, although Strass's contract had deferments and Rendon's didn't, so not quite the same. But Rendon leaves Washington to go out west. Good news, Danny. He's not in the NL East.
Yes.
Better news, he's in the American League. And you may never have to see him again if you don't watch the highlights or MLB Network.
Yeah, it's basically when the Nats play in the Interleague Series against the Angels. They go out there early May, I believe. You'll see him, and it'll be bittersweet, obviously. This is hard to quantify, right? I will never, ever, ever forget what he brought us. I will never forget. I will never move on. I will never not owe him for the amount of pure joy that he gave. The home run against Kershaw. The home run off Greinke. The massive late inning opposite field right center double to drive in extra runs. The huge at bats, laying off close pitches. He is and was so great all season long. When the Nats were in the toilet, he wasn't. He was carrying them. So I just can't be mad. I can't be mad at Anthony Rendon for taking advantage, for, you know, he didn't want deferred payments and he went and got the most money he could. He's going to pay a huge income tax, I guess, bully for you if that's what you wanted. He'll, you know, be probably in third or fourth place in the division for the next several years because the Angels have no pitching, but God bless you, man. It's a great lineup, you know, you and Mike Trout in tandem for the next several seasons.
So my thought all along was the Nationals have to find a way to get this done because from 30,000 feet up, if you just hop into an airplane and you go straight north and you look down at the ground, it is unacceptable, not okay, and a joke in the span of 2 years in market number seven to have allowed your best player to walk in consecutive seasons, potentially, Harper and then Rendon. It shouldn't happen. We're not the Oakland A's. We're not the Miami Marlins. You got to take care of your own. They did it with Strasburg. They've always done it with pitching. They don't seem to ever want to do it with bats. So my plan all season long was to continue to advocate to re-sign this guy, and when he walked, to eviscerate the Nationals. I won't be doing that today for two reasons. Most notably, they won a World Series. It's hard to have that much venom
that's a good way
for
to put
an
it.
Ownership group and a front office that just brought you a title. But the learners should send a nice bottle of champagne to Mike Rizzo today because he's saving them a lot of negative press. They're going to get some of it. And it may be in some cases deservedly. But by winning the World Series a couple of months ago, they made this a little bit more okay.
Yeah, it's easier to swallow.
They made this more stomachable, more tolerable, as has the emergence of Juan Soto as a superstar. When Rendon left, you had when Harper left, you had Rendon to kind of fill that role as a fan favorite. Now all the kids love Soto, so they've kind of lucked out a little bit here.
Mm-hmm.
But in talking to several people around this negotiation on both sides over the last couple of days, here's what I can kind of gather. This all fell apart, in my opinion, for a couple of reasons, but most notably, Anthony Rendon wanted nothing to do with deferred money. The Nationals never made him an offer without deferred money, period. Now, that's not the end-all be-all. That's not why he's not a National, but it's a big, big factor. If you look at the deals they've gotten done, the mega contracts, Scherzer was okay with deferred money. Done deal. Strasburg's okay with deferred money twice over. Done deal. Patrick Corbin, no problem deferring his money. Done deal. Bryce Harper didn't want to. Leaves. Anthony Rendon didn't want to. Leaves. It's almost a prerequisite.
Mm-hmm.
You want to make industry-altering, elite-level money at your position with the Nationals, you've got to be okay with deferments. Rendon was not, and that was where the writing was on the wall. That's number one. Then from each side of this, I was told the Nationals, while there was some negotiating after the fact, never made a formal offer over the $215 million that they offered Anthony Rendon that we heard about from Barry Svrluga's report at the end of the year, the 7 years, 210 to 215. Ended up getting about $30 million more than that, obviously. That included deferments. I don't know how much in deferred money. But the other part of this is I heard that Anthony Rendon didn't do the I really want to stay here call after he got the offer from the Angels to try to let the Nats match anyway. I think he was perfectly fine moving on. Let's not forget, this is a guy that in September, on the night the Nats clinched the playoffs, called out the fans and said maybe people will start showing up now. I think he was perfectly okay moving on from D.C. Doesn't mean he didn't want to be here. I think you could say this. It's not that he didn't want to be here. I don't know that he wanted to be here that badly either.
I think that's a good distinction.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Right. So
from D.C.
Right.
He got appointed to D.C. He never chose D.C. Mm-hmm. Go make your money, man.
The way I think of it, Jeeps, is as follows. I think the Nats missed their window on this. When Boris years ago said, this is what's going to cost for Anthony Rendon, Jose Altuve money, they said no. So then when they're negotiating, going back and forth early this season and then kind of throughout that last September offer, they never came up. They didn't want this that badly. I think Anthony Rendon soured on the Nationals based on the fact that they just didn't listen to him. So like it'd be like at your place of business, right, where you go, hey, next time contract negotiation time comes around, you can't put in X, whatever that is, in this case, deferments. I don't want that. And they go, thank you so much for your input. I really appreciate it. Here's some deferments. He literally just said, don't do that, and then they did that. This, to me, once we got to a certain point, this was over. This wasn't ever going to happen, right? And the Nats, and I understand their thinking, by the way. This was a guy that when they could have done this Altuve-type money a few years ago, had a player that was oft injured, that had never produced MVP-caliber seasons, had had flashes of being really, really good. He was good, not great. This year, he became great, right? When you put a player in a contract year, and he has an MVP-caliber season, a transcendent season, it's too late. You've lost the bidding war at that stage. I think they let it get to this point, and I'm with you. I think once it got here, Anthony Rendon was gone.
So I think it's easy to say, and I don't mean for you. I think everything you just said was correct. But it's easy to say from the player's side, if they would have just offered me Altuve money back then, I would have signed well after the ship has sailed, and now you can just say in hindsight that you would have signed. They may well have offered him that money then, and you're a couple years from free agency, and you tell him no. But 2 years later, you say, if you would have just offered me the money a couple of years ago, I would have signed. Maybe. Maybe not. That's number one. Number two, when you talk about the negotiation, and he may be soured on the fact that they kept putting the deferments in and didn't want to play ball his way, I just think that's general business. That's negotiating.
Sure.
You've dealt with Entercom. You've dealt with whatever company you guys listening right now work with. You say, don't do this. They do it. If you want to be there in the end, you still find a way to negotiate and discuss. If he really wanted to be here, Anthony Rendon would have gotten a 7-245 offer from the Angels, and he would have been on the phone with the Nats saying, hey, do you want to match this? Can you match this? Are you willing to do this? I don't think there's a bad guy here. I really don't. This was Anthony Rendon at spring training when we talked with him this year before the start of the season about his future.
Yeah, I'm all ears. I mean, I've said it before. I'm up to listen to whatever the Nats have to offer or whatever they wanted to have the discussions about. We've had prior discussions, like we've all been saying. And if we could come to terms and where both sides are happy, I mean, why wouldn't you take that, you know? My personality is way different. And y'all read the article. I mean, my identity is not in baseball. So if any point in time where, you know, I'm not appreciated and I'm not being compensated for it, or if baseball has been taken away from me and I have to go back home and I have to go be with my family or I have to go find another job, I think I've made a substantial amount of money thus far to be set for life. And the fact that I'm not looking for happiness in this sport so I can go home and be perfectly fine without having baseball.
He found happiness last night with the Angels to the tune of $245 million. How are you feeling this morning? In the wake of a World Series, Strasburg is back, Rendon is gone. How we all kind of thought this would go, but it didn't make it less jarring or more, any less painful.
It stings, man.
Last night, yeah. It's a jolt. 800-636-1067 is the number. Today's the day at noon. We are shaving Chris Russell's head. You can be here downstairs live to watch us do it and even participate if you'd like. We're G&D on the Fan.
Harris is 1-0. Swinging a high fly ball left field, sending Brantley back onto the warning track at the wall, looking up, and it is gone! Anthony Rendon puts it into the Crawford boxes, and the Nationals lead the ballgame 5-2 here in the seventh inning. It's Anthony Rendon's first World Series home run and his second long ball of the postseason. And the Nationals get to Harris here in the top of the seventh. The Nationals 5, the Astros 2.
That was the two-run Rendon homer after the terrible call that screwed the Nationals at first base with Trey Turner.
Such an underrated moment.
They'd lost momentum, and then he hit the two-run bomb to put them way out in front, and they would go on to win Game 6 of the World Series.
Because otherwise, that would have been the Trey Turner game. That would have been the bogus call game. You know, that would have been the thing that we talked about forever as the Nats don't win the World Series because of that moment, right? They don't go on to score, but he fixed all that. He took the pain away. I'm telling you, man, we owe him a lot.
Tony Two Bags, 44 doubles, led the league each of the last 2 years. 126 RBI, your league leader this past year. A career year in a contract year, the best we'd ever seen him. 10-10 OPS, a .319 batting average, competitive for the batting title. He's a career .290 hitter. He's exceptional. He is a complete player, a sterling defender, outstanding middle-of-the-order bat. He's got power, hit. 34 home runs, highest of his career this year. He drives in runs. There's nothing he doesn't do. And now he'll be doing it for the Angels, and we're asking you about losing Rendon at 800-636-1067. Now, I was on radio last night on MLB Network Radio, and they asked, they said, how is he going to be received if and when he's playing at Nats Park or when Nationals fans see him publicly for the first time? And I said, well, this is the opposite of Bryce Harper.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't sign in the division with Philly, which I think was the thing that led to the most vitriol and anger toward Bryce. I said, he's going to be beloved. The other big difference, he brought this city a World Series.
Yeah.
And so he'll come home and he'll be a conquering hero every time we ever see him. But what is fascinating to me is, and I really believe this, I've talked about this a couple times now. In the end, I think Bryce Harper did more to stay in Washington than Anthony Rendon did. Now, Bryce Harper came back to the Nats late in the negotiating period and said, hey, can I get that offer I told you I didn't want? On his own dime, he flew to meet with Ted Lerner one last time. All the other teams were coming to see him. He bought the plane ticket. He went and saw Ted Lerner. He was interested in staying in D.C., I think even more so than Rendon. And yet, when we look at how these guys are treated, and I think Anthony Rendon should be treated like a mensch, like a mm-hmm. great human being. He did nothing but wonderful things here, Youth Academy, otherwise. He has been instrumental in building baseball in D.C. into what it is. Without him, you don't win a World Series championship. He should be praised until the end of time for that. And he's done more off the field maybe in Washington over the last 5 years here than anybody.
Than nearly anybody, yeah.
Ryan Zimmerman is on a short list in him. That's kind of the list.
Uh-huh.
But I think Harper, who is hated and everyone says had one foot out the door since the day he was drafted and was all about going and getting paid, I think in the end, he actually probably did more to try to stay put as a National than Rendon, which is ironic and fascinating.
It is interesting. I think you and I may disagree about that in terms of lifetime who did more, but I don't think that's a huge issue either way. I think we got to a point where he wasn't coming back. I think that's indisputable. I think that's how we got there specifically. We could play the blame game and so on. But if I'm a Nats fan, which I am, and I'm listening today and I saw the news last night, I can understand people being frustrated. And here's where I'm going with this, Jeeves. It was always, well, we're not going to pay this guy so they can pay this guy. Well, they're not going to pay that guy now because, so they can save it for this guy. At a certain point, are you going to pony up? Are you going to do it? Right? We're hearing now that, well, it's not going to be for Harper because we'll pay Rendon. And we said, not so fast. Well, now we're not going to pay Harper so we can pay Trey Turner. Well, not so fast. Let's see when it happens. Now, I know they paid Steven Strasburg, and that's good. I'm very happy about that. But I can understand some frustration from Nats fans who forked over huge amounts of money. You know, and it's not everybody had the multiple thousands of dollars to casually throw around, but they did it because it was a once-in-a-lifetime experience. And to do that, and then to sort of see the team not do everything they possibly could, I can understand frustration today. I get that. To me, there's no reaction that I don't get when it comes to
Absolutely.
Rendon leaving. I hope that made sense.
Yeah, the frustration is perfectly reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
Very Oakland A's, like two straight years, superstar players whose jerseys are being worn all over the park. You have refused to sign players that you could have. Now, the Harper decision, I think, was good business. I happen to think this one is bad business, and now you got to get creative. And we could talk later today and for the next several days what you can do at third base. Can you get into the sweepstakes for Chris Bryant as a trade candidate? Are there other potential third basemen? Miguel Andujar of the Yankees comes to mind, who you might be able to trade for that would cushion the blow.
I've seen that anywhere. I would be
I got a
gassed
couple
up for
ideas.
That. I like your ideas.
I got a couple things I'd like to discuss at
you
some
won't
point.
Jot them down and blog them.
But you got to get creative now because you just let an exceptional, phenomenal player walk out the door. It takes two to tango. And for me to absolutely kill the Nationals here before we know all the details is tough. Number one, they won the World Series, so I wouldn't have probably done it anyway.
Yes, they did.
Number two, I don't think Anthony Rendon, just based on everything that I know, the conversations we've had with him, the discussions behind the scenes and on the air, seeing how he talked about baseball in D.C. and the fan base and how annoyed he was with the attendance and some of those things, I have a hard time believing he was out on the dance floor with his hand out waiting for the Nats to tango. You see what I'm saying? I think they would have had to drag him out to the dance floor, and they're not willing to drag anyone out to the dance floor, it doesn't seem like. But if he was standing there going, please come dance with me, please, 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 and they said, no, we're not going to do that, then I'll crush him. This, I think you had to go out of the room where the floor is actually set up, where the music's being played. You had to find him in his car in the parking lot. You had to open the door and pull him into the house, and then you had to get him on the dance floor, and you had to move his arms and help him dance. And I just can't annihilate them for not doing this. At the same time, I am immensely frustrated because – you're either more the Yankees and the Dodgers, or you're more the small market club who doesn't keep your own.
Like, you're not going to pay that guy. You're not going to try to win the bidding war. Then who do you pay?
You're not paying Juan Soto. I now know Juan Soto's gone. So just enjoy him while we have him, and we should have him for another 5 years or so.
And it'll be fun.
You're not paying that guy. So just know that. I think Trey Turner, who's not advised by Boris, you should start working on a deal with, but he seems like he's probably a free agent who's leaving. I'll never give you the benefit of the doubt again that you're going to re-sign someone. Oh, we won't sign Bryce because we'll sign Anthony. No, you won't. We won't sign Anthony, but we'll sign Trey. No, you won't.
I'm out on that game.
Yeah. I'm not playing that game. You don't get the benefit of the doubt anymore. You haven't earned it. What I will do is give you credit for winning a World Series and the fact that you build competitive teams every year. It gets harder to do that, though. When you don't have a system to restock. You don't have players like Victor Robles and Juan Soto that can help you. Forget about Bryce Harper and forget about Anthony Rendon. So you better be real careful as you keep letting these guys walk. 800-636-1067. We're going to get to your calls in a minute. Real quick, this was Anthony Rendon at the Nats Youth Academy when we caught up with him in July talking about his future.
I don't know. I still think it's up in the air. I mean, we haven't heard from the front office in a few weeks or a month now. And so we haven't had an offer, I don't believe, in a little bit longer than that. But, I mean, if you're giving me the opportunity and saying I'm this close from going to go car shopping for multiple lots – instead of staying in one lot, well, I mean, what would you do?
I would probably go to as many lots as possible.
I mean, the opportunity has been there for 5-6 years now, and still open to it, still all ears. But as the closer we get to that opportunity, it makes more sense as a player, thinking about my family and all these other variables that come into play. Why not look forward to it?
His family's going to be just fine. 7 years, $245 million. Anthony Rendon today is a Los Angeles Angel of Anaheim. Your reactions next, 800-636-1067. Carl Hagelin of the Caps after a huge win of the Bruins. 10:45 right here on The Fan. Is there even a number they can come to you with where you would agree? It takes two to dance right now.
Yeah, for sure. I think there is a number, and we've discussed that, and there's also some contingencies into the contract that need to happen, and they know what that is, and we've expressed our concerns on what those things are, and if they can make that happen, and then I think they'll be good to go.
We now know, we knew at the time, but I think we could say more definitively.
Right.
What he was referring to there was he didn't want any deferred money.
Please stop deferring.
The Nationals defer money on contracts like this. They never offered him a deal where that wasn't involved, and it ended up being a pretty major sticking point. Anthony Rendon is going to bat third for the Angels and protect Mike Trout this year. How about that lineup? Tommy La Stella, Mike Trout, Anthony Rendon, Shohei Ohtani, Justin Upton, 1-5.
They can hit, man. I mean, La Stella, I know people sort of roll their eyes. He was all-star caliber this year. He may have even been an all-star.
Hit bombs.
An unbelievable first half. He's about 5'5", 88 pounds. He was just raking. Cole Calhoun, I think, hit mid-30s homers. I mean, Pujols is 127 years old, but he's still a presence in the order. They just need somebody to take the ball and go stand on that mound area and try to get outs. They don't have that.
If you look at the odds to win the World Series, with the Rendon addition last night, the Angels went from 66-1 to 33-1. And you know, by the way, they loved watching what he did against the Astros in the World Series, because they're thinking, this is the team we got to knock off. This is the team we got to try to beat that we play almost 20 times a year. But an all-star, a top three MVP finisher this year, and a silver slugger, Anthony Rendon is out. I think most people knew this was coming, but it doesn't really change the way you feel this morning.
Still stings.
Let's go to Alex and Wheaton on Grant and Danny. Hey, buddy.
Hey, guys. I got an observation and also a question. Thinking back to September, you know, Anthony kind of entered a slump there. I think his average dipped like, what, 40, 50 points or something?
Wasn't why that much, the end of that, it dipped,
At the end of that month is when we found out that that contract offer had been made and rejected. And I don't think those things are coincidental. I think Anthony knew then, and it affected his performance, that he probably wasn't coming back. I mean, he didn't know that he'd still be playing in October, and obviously he recovered his form in the, at the plate in October, which was great for everybody. But I think that's when, you know, looking back, I think that's when this thing just went in the direction that it went in.
Yeah, I'd say the playoffs punch a hole in that theory. I mean, suddenly he just wasn't as bothered by it anymore and took off. I mean, in the playoffs this year, he hit .412. In the division series, .417 in the league championship series.
Is that good?
And then hit two homers and drove in 8 runs in the World Series. So I don't know how worried or frustrated he was about his contract or hitting free agency. He's never really struck me as that type of guy. I think he just goes out and he plays baseball and he simplifies things. You know, he talks all the time about hitting. When he's asked about hitting, he's like, I take this little wooden thing here and I hit that white round thing there.
Yeah, he's not a worrier.
Let's go to Jeff in Culpeper. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, how you doing, Grant and Danny?
What's up, buddy?
Good.
Hey, I'm extremely disappointed. I mean, I feel like the Marlins. Did the Red Sox let Ortiz walk, you know, in 04? Yankees let Jeter walk. We let our best guy walk again. Back to back.
Yeah.
Again.
And the promise was we were going to keep this guy.
Well, that was implied. I mean, I don't know if they ever specifically said, but that was the word gets out, right?
Yes.
I mean, it's hard to say. I never heard Mark Warner specifically say or Mike Rizzo specifically say, but it was implied. Well, as you're starting to talk to people, sort of the pulse was, I don't know, you know, who was the genesis of that rumor or feeling, but we've done this for a while. We've done this dance before. Well, if we're not going to keep that guy, we're saving money for this guy. If it's not going to be that guy, it'll be the next guy. They've lost the benefit of the doubt. I think you said this very well. Forever. Until they start doing it a bunch of times. Until they start keeping Soto, Turner, and whomever else.
And they're not keeping Soto. I doubt they'll keep Turner. Maybe. Try to sign Robles. That's the guy I think you should try to get done now, to be honest with you. Juan Soto's gone. I mean, that's just a thing. He's going to get record money. He's going to get $500 million. But the cold, hard reality here, he just hit on it. And this really was crystallized for me a handful of months ago, is I like to think in market number 6 or 7, whatever we are, that we are more New York, Boston, L.A. Mm-hmm. than we are Cleveland or Kansas City. That's just not the case. Attendance, money made, generated versus lost. You know, do you have a green or are you in the red, what have you? The Nationals are closer. TV deal is a big part of it, I think. Attendance, I think, is a big part of it, but they're closer to those other teams than the Yankees and the Red Sox, who he was comparing them to.
Yeah, who have their own networks and print money. And
I hate that, but yeah. We just have to come to grips on this. Now, here is my irrational anger today. This is the thing I'm just deciding to be mad about.
Okay.
And it makes no sense. I'm admitting to that.
I like this.
How the hell have you not sold naming rights to this ballpark? You don't have enough money to keep Bryce Harper. You don't have enough money to keep Anthony Rendon. You don't have enough money to offer a contract without deferments. Do you know how much money you can sell naming rights to a ballpark for? Why is it still called Nationals Park?
Great question by you.
Do everything that you can to make as much money as possible. I don't want to hear that you lose money. I don't want to hear that this is a business and you have to make as much as possible. All these things. Sell your naming rights. How is the stadium still Nationals Park? When you have done everything you can to make every penny you can to keep Anthony Rendon, that's when I will feel a little bit easier and better about the whole thing. How is that ballpark still called Nationals Park? I want naming rights immediately.
This is a good question by you.
If another player walks before you, or you say I can't sign a reliever before you go get naming rights, I'm going to be pissed. And I know that has nothing to do with anything, and it probably is irrational, but damn if that's not where I'm focusing my energy today.
I get it. I mean, it's hard to explain exactly. You're right. It's not a rational thing, but it's frustrating, right?
You're screaming at something in the room.
Yeah, all I want to do, all I want from my teams, okay, is we did everything we could. If Anthony Rendon is determined to leave, which I think by the end he was, and your offer came up or didn't include deferments or whatever, then you just kind of go, well, that was the mind of the player. You can't get mad at that. But to me, he goes, please don't put deferments in. And they put deferments in. You knew what it was going to take and you didn't come through.
When did the pendulum swing, you think, to him being determined to leave? You know, we talked with him enough. He was, and a lot of players are this way. It doesn't mean he wants out by any means, but he just never... He never felt like baseball mattered a lot here. And well, I think in October he saw that he could, but that's just an event thing. Everyone wants to go take a picture of themselves at Nats Park. Well, the night they clinched in September, he ribbed the fans and said, maybe you guys will start showing up now. It really chapped his butt for a long time.
The big quote, I think it was at Nats Youth Academy when we had him, where he said, or maybe it was spring training, I can't remember which one, but where he said, yeah, that's been open and available for 5 years. You know what I mean? We could have done this any time. And, you know, we haven't heard from them in a while or whatever it was. I think that's when it was over. We didn't realize it at that time. Right? Because he did say that. Remember, he was like, yeah, the my phone has worked for 5 years. They could have done this. They could have done some sort of extension. I think they missed their boat. And I get it. It's a gamble, right? Sometimes you sign a guy to a long-term deal and it blows up in your face because he's hurt all the time or whatever the case is. When you gamble, you don't pay someone early. You allow them the opportunity to thrive, and then it costs more. I get that.
I don't want to just act like they definitively could have gotten that contract done, though. It's so easy to say it now. His agent was still Scott Boras. Mm-hmm. He still had to want to do that.
No, that's totally fair.
And just to say now, well, if they would have just offered him the money 4 years ago, he would have taken it. Maybe. Or maybe he wouldn't have. There's one guy who's been represented by Boras who's done that. It's the guy they shut down and took care of. And I think that was all kind of part of the bigger picture plan when they did that was, we'll do this, but you take care of us.
Mm-hmm.
None of the other Boras guys signed.
I mean, Ryan Braun did, but still.
No, other players have in other cities. I'm talking about
here in Washington, 100%. Yes, you're right about that.
800-636-1067. Carl Hagelin, Capitals, winger. Great on the penalty kill again last night. The reason they won, 5-for-5, killing off the #3 power play in the league. They win by a goal against Boston. On the show next, plus 800-636-1067. More of your thoughts on the Rendon departure on Grant and Danny. Carl Hagelin of the Caps is presented by FH for Plumbing, Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical. He joins us on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. In 12 minutes, we'll get back into the Nats losing Anthony Rendon as he is signed for $245 million with the Angels. And we're closing in on noon, about an hour and 10 minutes out. We've got lunch for you from Paisanos if you come down to watch Chris Russell get his head shaved. A $25 donation to charity will get you an opportunity to cut or shave some of Chris Russell's head with us. So we'll get back into your calls at 800-636-1067 at 11. But we're pleased to talk to Carl right now after another huge win over the Bruins. How do you explain beating a pretty good team over the course of this stretch, and at times a great team like right now, the Boston Bruins, 16 out of 17 times as an organization? I know you haven't been here for that whole stretch, Carl, but Braden Holtby's career numbers, he's 18-3 against the Bruins. I've never seen anything like this.
Neither do I. I think Boston is one of those teams wherever I've been, it's been one of the toughest teams to play. You usually go 500 at best against them throughout a year. So it's a pretty remarkable stat, and it shows that that's a team that I guess we get up for those games. And obviously Holtz played great against them. And it was my first time playing Boston as a Cap, and it was a lot of fun. You could see it was a playoff atmosphere at Capital One yesterday, and we're happy to get those 2 points. It's definitely fun to be out there.
How big on ice is Zdeno Chara? Like, to me, he looks like an octopus walking on land. Like, just he's so tall and he's long. It's like he takes up the entire defensive zone by himself.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the reasons why their PK is so good all the time. Like you said, his stick is longer than, anyone else's stick in the league. So he can cover a lot of ice. He got big feet, so it's hard to pass pucks through him. And obviously, he knows what to do out there, even though he's over 40 years old. So give him a lot of cred. And but like you said, he's huge. And give Willie a lot of cred for fighting him, too.
That's where I was going.
That was crazy. He's got big bricks for hands. He could kill a man with those fists. And the problem is, right, you could just never get inside because of his reach. But I thought Willie held his own. It was an even fight.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think Willie was pumped up about it. And it's good for his fight card. That was huge for our team. It was cool to watch Willie go out there and sacrifice his body like that.
Carl Hagelin of the Caps are the best team in the East, are the best team in the NHL. They played the second best team last night, and they beat them on home ice and come from behind fashion. Was TJ Oshie's second goal, the dangle and the backhand
beautiful,
top shelf, was that the goal of the season for you guys, or is there anything that stands out that might even that, do you think?
From what I remember throughout the year, I think that's number one. Just the way he picked up the puck in the neutral zone. He didn't get a great pass from Kuzubi, found a way to kick it to himself. And then, doing that at high speed with two D-men right in front of you that could step up and, try to ruin your life. He still find a way to toe drag around him. And then, even though I had two sticks on him, he found a way to put the puck right on the crossbar. So, yeah, that's probably the highlight of the year.
Carl Hagelin with us here on Grant and Danny. Carl, you guys are really good, and you're rolling. Game like Monday, though, how do you view that? Is Tyre Reardon reading the riot act to you guys? Is it one of those things where, hey, this is hard? It's hard to get up every night for 82 games, and you had this West Coast schedule and everything like that. Because you guys obviously played well last night, get right back on the good foot, beating a really good club. What's the reaction sort of to Monday where you go, we can't worry about it, or do you get ticked off? How do you guys treat that?
I think we're a team that knows we know how good we can be, and we all know that was a stinker that game. So after, we didn't worry about it too much. We came to the rink the day after. The coaches gave us a day off from skating because they knew maybe we were a little fatigued from that long road trip. And then we got ready. Our leader showed up, and when they're going, our whole team is going. So that's the type of team we want to be. Never have two bad games in a row.
Carl Hagelin on Grant and Danny, a free agent this past season and decided to stay in Washington, D.C. with the Capitals and re-sign with the club he spent the end of last season with. One of the reasons I thought it was so important to keep you was the penalty kill. And when you play, you've played in 22 games this year, the PK has killed 69 of 78 opportunities. That's about 89%. You're an assassin on the kill. But I thought that's why you guys won last night. You were 5-for-5. Against the number 3 power play in the league, and I know Boston did score and had one taken off the board for an offsides call, but 5-for-5 against that power play, which is top 3 in the NHL, what was the plan going in? How do you defend them? Because they're so good moving the puck, and do you agree that maybe that was the difference in the game?
Yeah, I mean, our PP scored a goal, and our PK didn't give up a goal, and we won by one. So that was definitely a big part. I think all the guys that kill penalties, they take pride in that, you know, myself included. I think that's the way we have to look at it. You know, we have a lot of firepower up front. Guys are going to score goals, and, you know, then you obviously need secondary scoring, but you also need guys that are ready to do, you know, do those defensive, you know, whatever, take those responsibilities to help the team win. And obviously having Holtz back there, he made a couple of great saves, and that's where you need against a great power play like that. And it's going to be the same thing here playing Tampa coming up. So it'd be another good challenge, but it's, you know, I like that challenge going up against a Boston team with, you know, one of the best power play units in the league. And even, you know, before I came here, it was always fun to play against the Caps with so many threats and so many weapons. You kind of learned a little from that too.
Carl, I tipped my cap to the kill last night, but you guys had to kill off five. You took six penalties, 17 pims. You guys are 26th in the NHL in that category right now. How do you stop committing so many penalties?
Yeah, I think, you know, when it comes to hitting, we want to be aggressive. We want to be physical. So some of those penalties you can't really take out, but it's more the, you know, stick infractions. I think those are the ones we could do a better job. You take a couple more strides instead of, you know, putting your stick in there. But like you said, it's definitely hard to kill five penalties in a game. Take some guys out of the game because they don't play PP or PK. So I think as a team, you try to limit it to three in a game, and it's easier to have success.
Carl, I love this goal song thing. I love it. I love it. I'm a Rube. I just like watching the Capitals play, but I like hearing Take Me Home Country Road. I like that the guys get to kind of put their stamp on it. It's obviously you're incentivized to score goals as it is, but it's that much sweeter, I feel like, and people start to get the brand and know it. How did that kind of come about? And, you know, is everybody kind of swept up in it now?
I think it's just like whatever the PR department kind of came up with it, I think. Just asking guys around. I don't know if they're going to involve some of the fans too to pick a song. But yeah, it's definitely
cool. Did you pick your own song?
I haven't yet, no.
What are you going to do?
We'll see. You'll see.
Oh, come on, make an announcement.
Not yet.
All right.
I'm thinking about it, you know?
I got you.
You better think about it before that next goal. Carl Hagelin Grant and Danny.
Otherwise, I guess they play Avicii.
Yeah. Well, that's the intro for the show, so you might as well keep the theme going. Hey, Carl, awesome game for you guys last night. It was
really
fun to watch, man. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
See you, buddy.
Love having Carl Hagelin on. Really, really good.
I love that goal thing. I love it. It's great. Fun. The uptight, stuffy world of hockey sometimes is annoying. This is just a really fun thing.
But here's what I can't figure out. I don't think the players pick their own song.
They absolutely do. They pick them.
Some, but like my buddy's the DJ for the team and occasionally just plays a song based on a theme for a guy.
I read the article last night from Samantha Pell. Not everybody's done it yet. Some are like Jacob Vrana is like.
Then you're either doing it or you're not. That's what I don't understand.
Well, some of the guys are like pondering it. They're trying to figure it out. TJ Oshie picked Country Roads and you heard it twice last night. Some guys have picked stuff. I think Ovi's got a song. I forget what it was, but a few guys have like just pick something and commit it to it.
I mean, that's just something you do one day where everyone gives you the song.
Yeah.
And then you have them. Otherwise, you're just, some guys have songs and some don't.
Right.
I would just like it to be a black and white thing.
I want everyone to have a song.
Yeah.
I really like it.
It's like a walking up to the plate.
Yeah.
Anthony Rendon had a song.
Yes, he did.
He doesn't anymore. Well, he does. It's just out in Anaheim. We'll never hear that song again. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Anthony Rendon is out. Bryce Harper last year. Rendon this year. Your feelings as you wake up this morning and find out he's no longer a National. How does it change your outlook for the team in 2020? We'll answer that question next. And does this do anything to your passion, your fandom at all? Another one bites the dust for the Nats. You're listening to the Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.